chapter 14. There went great crowds with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he can't be my disciple." "Well, you wouldn't like it if I said to you, 'Oh, you're my children.' Well, I hate you because I follow Jesus. He told me to hate you." When you read the Bible, you've got to understand how it's written and how people used language back in those days. And I think that when Jesus talks about hating, he's using it in the same way that God said, "Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated." I don't think it means that God hated Esau. I think it means that God's purpose was with Jacob, and if you like, he loved less Esau. So the message is that we have got to love Jesus above father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters. And most people put their family number one, and that is right. But Jesus is saying that he should be higher than family. Very often people don't accept the gospel because of family. You think of the people who might live in a family of Muslims, for example, and everything in their culture is all about being a Muslim. And when they encounter Jesus, to actually change from that culture and to love all their family, etc., less than they love Jesus, that is too much for them. And so they turn away. And this is a huge call. And this is what makes us different to people around us. As we often say, it's not that we're better than the people around us. It's just that we're different because of things like this, that we have encountered Jesus. We've met Jesus. And he has loved us and given his life for us. And we are to love him more than anyone and anything else in the world. That includes family, etc. Now, when Mummy and Daddy got married, we said to each other, "I love you more than anyone or anything else in the world apart from God and apart from Jesus." And the fact that we've had this great experience of God's love and the love of Jesus, this is what makes us want to respond. And we have to love, we want to love Jesus, therefore, more than anything else in the world. And doing that in practice is what makes us different to people in the world who have not had that experience of the love of Jesus in their lives. And he goes on, "And whoever doesn't carry his cross and come behind me can't be my disciple." Well, to be crucified was a terrible thing. It was very public, it was torture, it was death through torture, really. And Jesus says that you can't be my disciple unless you are going to carry my cross and follow me. And in the other Gospels, it says, unless you do this every day. So this is the spirit of our lives, not thinking how much we can benefit from being a Christian, how many new friends we'll get, what a good social life and activities we might have on in our lives, but what can I give? And in the end, we are called to die for Jesus. Now, we may not be asked to literally give our lives. We are to all the same give our lives. Maybe we're not called to, like, literally die. Perhaps it won't be that some crazy gunman bursts into the room and says, "Are you a Christian? If you are, I'm going to pull this trigger and you will die." And we would think, I hope, yep, I am a Christian. Yes, I am. Go on, shoot. Now, that probably won't happen to us, although you never know. But that doesn't mean that we are not called to give our lives. We are called to give our lives for Jesus. And so he tells a story. He says, "Which of you, intending to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest otherwise, after he's laid the foundation and isn't able to finish it, everyone who looks at it laughs at him, saying, 'This man began to build and wasn't able to finish.'" On one hand, being a Christian is so easy that we are asked just to accept the love of God in Jesus, and we will be saved by his grace, not by our works, but by his grace. And because he loves us, he will forgive us anything. Because we have known that love, we can't just shrug and say, "Oh yeah, well, that's good. I'm on a good thing. I shall just get on and enjoy myself, and have this sort of guarantee that at the end of it all I shall be saved. No, if we really believe that love, you cannot be passive to it. You will willingly give your life for Jesus. And that means counting the cost and saying, yes, this is what I agree. Well, what king going to make war against another king doesn't first of all sit down and think whether he's able with 10,000 soldiers to meet him who's coming against him with 20,000 soldiers? Otherwise, while the other is still a great way off, he'll send messengers and beg for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever he is of you who does not forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So the point is, we're sinners and we've all sinned, and we are on our way to the day of judgment. And God, as it were, is coming in judgment with a huge army, much stronger than us. We can't fight God. All you can do is to recognize that, yes, I am weaker than God. You are right and I am wrong. To beg him for mercy. And of course he will accept us. And that, however, will involve, as Jesus says, leaving or forsaking all that we've got. Giving up our army of 10,000 men, saying, well, what was that? Nothing. I see it's no good, it's no use. He goes on, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savour, it isn't. It's neither fit for the land, nor yet for the rubbish dump, but men just throw it out. He who's got ears to hear, let him hear. So then, we are to be salt. And salt that hasn't got any saltiness is absolutely no good. In other words, who we are, by reason of who we are, it's got to be absolutely everything for God and everything for Jesus. Because if salt isn't salt, then it's not salt. And so that is how we should be, that the response we're making to God and Jesus takes up our whole lives. It's who we are in every aspect of our lives. That is who we are. I am a Christian. And that's why it's not a hobby. It's not something that you do just on Sundays, or you just say, yep, I'm a Christian, just like someone else might say, well, I'm a whatever. I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Sikh, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic. To say I am a Christian means that this is everything for me. This defines everything in my life.